With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. It is, ladies and gentlemen, the new DCU. I am Steven. That is Matthew.
Hello. And
today we are taking a look at Starfire from Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti, and Emmanuel Lapacino. And so here's the thing that I get from reading this first issue. We can go into some of the story a little bit more in detail a little bit if we want. But it feels like this is the Teen Titans Go animated Starfire.
I was thinking brought the Teen to Titans this live, not live, but the Teen Titans series from before Go.
That the one that, from 19, I mean from 2006, whatever it was. Yeah.
The really bright, peppy, pleasant, dinky girl.
And
I kind of enjoy
because that. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why I say this, because had this been, well, even Starfire from the Red Hood series, Red Hood and the Outlaws, she's a little bit more knowledgeable of stuff than she is here. I mean, she's really going through a lot of this very, ill-informed about things and the way the world works. And I don't think that's the way she was in Red Hood and the Outlaws, was she?
Red Hood and the Outlaws, there was some weird stuff going on, and I want to say that either she intentionally turned off portions of her memory,
Or
someone turned off portions of her memory, so she was a much more serious character. But the problem with that is that that got them an awful lot of blowback. I mean, was mad about Red Hood number one.
Yeah, Starfire here is very innocent. She's very naive. I guess that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
She's not familiar with the ways of the world or how things work. So this feels very much like we're getting that Teen Titans, the what is it, Yumi Amiguchi's song, that version.
Emmy Yumi.
Yeah. That version of Starfire here. And I like that. I really like that a lot because I do like that innocent of, what do you mean this beer is good? And it makes portions of my brain feel all tingly.
And it's bubbly and it tastes wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with that.
This is not the Starfire we would have seen in Red Hood and the Outlaws. And it's certainly not the Starfire we would have seen from the Teen Titans from, 10 years ago.
Well, and if you go all the way back to 1979, in some ways, this is the Starfire that we saw in those early, early issues.
Yes, exactly.
There's actually a moment in this issue where she's making out with a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I learn languages by kissing. And the woman's like, he spoke English. What are you trying to learn? She's like, more English.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
that's wonderful. And I love the fact that she's innocent, but she's not stupid.
Right.
She's not completely without, her resources. She's just unskilled in the ways of, hanging around on Earth in what part of the country are they in?
They are in Key West, Florida, is where this story takes place. And the other thing, too, is she is relatively new to Earth in the way because this issue opens up with her talking to the sheriff of Key West and telling her story that we know, kind of the origin story. Her and her sister were the last surviving members of the royal family of Tamaran.
Right.
And she escaped or was escaped from her captors and right. then found her way to Earth because she's like, the sheriff is asking her, do you have some money? She's like, oh, yeah, there were some jewels or some things that were in that ship. Well, if she's been here for years, chances of her carrying that stuff around still seems fairly slim. I don't know. So it just feels like this is, and this is what I like about this book. It feels new. It right. feels fresh. And as far as what DC is trying to do in trying to create new stories and new characters and not really getting mired down in continuity, this really, really works for me, especially for new readers.
I agree. And I think the thing that I do like about it is coming out of Convergence, they specifically said that everything you know and everything you've ever read is sort of true. And, you know, all these stories have happened and we're not necessarily going to tie ourselves down to a post-Zero Hour or pre-crisis right. continuity.
Right.
So you can retell. I mean, this is a DC thing. You go back to the beginning of the Bronze Age, and it starts with retellings of origins.
Mm-hmm.
We get Batman throwing back to the 30s. We get Green Lantern becoming that space cop that he was for 12 issues and then forgot how to be.
Right.
And I really like the elements here and the elements in other issues of the DCU that are like, this is throwback material, but it's done both to honor what books have come before, but to also give us something new and different. And
yeah.
here, kind of like Bizarro. Did we do Bizarro just
yes,
last
we did
week?
Last week.
I loved Bizarro. I like this book even more than Bizarro.
Really? Yeah, I kind of feel like it's, I mean, so the three DC books I've read in the last couple of weeks, Bizarro, Starfire and Batman 41. They're all really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I like that. It's like, wow, way to pull me back in with something that's interesting and doesn't seem rehashed. And right. even though Batman is Batman and is dark, kind of,
yeah.
Batman 41 was not, you know, dark Batman. It was, and I think everyone knows because of the Free Comic Book Day, Jim Gordon is the current Batman. He's right. the one inside the Batman suit. And there's a whole bit in there, which is I found quite funny, where he's like, think Batman thoughts. Batman does not have a navel. And it's like, oh, that's funny, right? And it's kind of yeah. making light of itself. And so it made it feel like a fun issue. And of course, it's Scott Snyder writing. He's a very good writer to begin with. But between Bizarro and Starfire, both of these are high-octane, fun issues. Yeah.
And the Batman issue specifically has two things going for it for me. Batman is always going to be kind of a dark, moody story.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it has to be grim and hopeless.
Right.
And this is a story about Jim Gordon finding hope and taking over for what he thinks is his dead friend, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that perfect moment where Harvey Bullock is like, dude, Batman can't smoke. And aren't you like 60?
I'm 46,
Harv.
Yeah. yeah. You're going to have to get LASIK.
I love that moment. And these
they
are
don't
the
make
things
10
that
foot,
really
they don't make 10-foot long trench coats.
The same thing happens in this issue where
yes.
she's telling her story and she's like, I can fly. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
And so we have the full page. What would normally be just a goofy splash page actually ties into the story
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of Starfire explaining herself and her powers.
I have three big ones. Will that be enough for rent?
I only see two.
Yeah, that is on the level. You know, some people may find offense to that, but I find that on the level of, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but I find that on the level of what we usually expect from Paul Meade and Amanda Connor.
And they put those words in the mouth of a drunk jerk.
Right.
Who gets his comeuppance for
yes.
being a drunk jerk.
And notice one of them is wearing blue and the other one is wearing gold. With a star on it.
Yeah. And I love the fact that they go clothes shopping and she's like, have you ever worn pants?
Yeah.
And she ends up buying a skirt.
A nice skirt. It's just fine.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I was kind of hoping we would see more of her just in clothes throughout the issue before she, you know, quickly jumps back into her costume. I'm surprised she doesn't attract more attention with her hair on fire. That's the only thing that's kind of surprising to me.
Well, and she's clearly a solar-powered alien. She's bright
yes.
orange with glowing
yes.
green eyes.
Well, I've seen a lot of spray-on tans that turn people orange, so.
And this is Florida.
Yes.
But more importantly, this is the DC universe.
Yes.
I mean, when Superman is a major player, you might be able to get away with being a girl with flaming hair and
mm-hmm.
people just...
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting things about Marvel or DC. I think at some point, and I don't know what that point is because...
Thursday.
Maybe. I think that it would be very much everyone is aware of the existence of aliens at this point, and they are aware that aliens are among us. So maybe it's not so weird, you know, that kind of thing where, yeah, a woman, an orange girl with flaming hair is pretty common, and we just go along with it, and it's not a big deal. We're not going to make a big deal of it. And I think Marvel, to an extent, is that way, too. But it seems like there are some stories written in DC Comics and Marvel where an alien shows up and people are like, oh, my God, it's an alien. And it's like, well, yeah. Well,
yeah, that's, you know, it's that suspension of disbelief. It's the question of people calling Hottie Jean Grey a monstrous monster and looking at the Thing and saying that he's a heroic good guy.
Right, right.
Some of it seems arbitrary.
And
I think the best part about this issue for me is Starfire is wearing the most clothing she has ever worn in a Starfire costume.
Yeah, I like the costume. I mean, well, it wasn't the one in the 70s. It had something that ran down the front between the top and the bottom, right?
No, it had mega cleavage. It was basically an armored battle bikini.
Oh, okay.
She had like a circle around her neck that was sort of an armor thing.
Yeah. Now I remember.
And then straps like a Borat bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And then steel boots and everything.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like this costume. I think the costume looks really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think in Red Hood and the Outlaws, at least, they kind of played up on the fact that her race was very open about, you know, lack of clothing or their sexuality and those kinds of things. So
they
that kind of follows through here. Yeah,
where she wants to buy the bikini she was wearing in the first issue of Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah.
And the woman won't let her because, you know, it's a teeny tiny stripy bikini.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's a nice callback. It's a nice moment.
The big gist of the story is as Corey is starting to get used to the community of Key West, which is interesting in itself because there's so much more that can be played up about the craziness and the weirdness that is Key West, Florida.
Right.
And they kind of touch on it because the old lady that runs the trailer park is like, this man was from Jamaica and he loved the and this is the national flower and he painted their trailer that way. And then the sheriff's like, he's not Jamaican. He's from Denver. That's not a flower. And it's clearly a marijuana leaf. So it's like, okay, that's pretty funny. But then, you know, the big thing is there's this hurricane that is starting to move into the area and having people needing to escape the island within an hour. And of course, with the storm coming in fast and high tide, which they stress multiple times in the issue, Starfire is going to have to come to the rescue and show her powers and ingratiate herself into the community so that they want to keep her around and give her a reason to stick around.
Yeah.
And I think it's all well plotted out from that story perspective.
It reminds me a lot, and I think it was the same writers, of those first few issues of Power Girl.
Yes, it's the same writers, yeah.
Yeah, where we took those everything that we knew about Kara and put it all together and kind of gave her a nice little background and a new place to hang out and a new place to live. But everything that came before is still theoretically still part of it. You can still look at this and say, okay, this is the same Starfire.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly.
Yeah, and here's the part, and this is the part where it gets a little weird for me, because I think Lupacino's art is fantastic in this issue. Mm-hmm. I think it works really, really well. But as I'm reading this and knowing that it's Connor and Palmiotti who did the Power Girl series, there are times, especially with the little thought bubbles that are going through Starfire's mind, this feels like this was written for Amanda to do the art, but for whatever reason, they opted not to do that. And that's the only weird thing about the issue.
Yeah, that it's always disappointing when you have a cover by Amanda and she's not doing the interiors.
Right.
I will say Lupacino does really good work, and there are points that have kind of a Terry and Rachel Dodson feel.
I was going to say that because, and I was going to say too, it feels like, and I'd have to go back and look at the resume, but it feels like he's done some Robin issues maybe in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the art style looks very, very familiar. Like I said, it's really great. I have no problems with it. The line work is great. The proportions and the forms are fantastic. He fills out the panels with enough detail to where we don't end up with, I mean, occasionally you're going to run into a panel that just has a solid color, but it's hard for me to find something that is just one solid color as a background because everything is filled with detail. And that's one of my little nitpicky things is just don't throw in a gradient color. Give me something back there. Make this feel like a real world. And right. he does it. It's great.
I think Emanuela is a woman.
Oh, maybe.
Name.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry.
That's okay. I don't know for
yes,
sure.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you're correct. I'm sure you're correct. It's my my mistake.
But I do. I enjoy this setting. I enjoy the backgrounds. And I think that this is another one of those number one stories that could kind of go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested in seeing which direction they might take it. I really like this Starfire. And with the, you know, with the feedback that they got in 2011 of, well, kids only know her from the cartoon. How right. can you have her be? They're giving us basically what those voices were asking for. And now it's time for the people who said that, if you're out there, if you're
listening, to step up and read it.
This is the book you got to step up and buy, because this is the thing. This is what people were asking for.
Yeah.
That young, excitable, fun, well, and, young Starfire doing her Starfire thing.
And in that case, in that reflection back to what people were complaining about, then they've done their job perfectly here, because this is, as you and I both said, feels like the cartoon character that people yep. know. So this truly is a DC YOU book. You asked for it. You're getting it. Here's Starfire. You better go pay for it. It's a $3.99 book. Go pick it up. I really enjoyed it a lot. And the creative team, and I'm sorry, Emanuela, sorry about that. I'm sorry. I was halfway back into the book and all I could think of was the last name.
Way to be a Clorbag Varbler Nook, Steven.
Oh, by me. But there, I think everyone did
Temeranian.
I think everyone did a fantastic job here, and I'm ready to put this on a regular read list, regular pull list. Like, pull list is a little hard. I mean, the nice thing about Comixology is you can subscribe to these books so that as soon as a new issue comes out, it's automatically charged to your account. You can just read it instantly. So I do like that. Wake up Wednesday morning, there's a whole stack of digital comics for you to read. The one thing that is, and I don't know, did you get a print version today or not on this? Or did
no,
you get
I
the
digital?
Digital okay. Comixology. What a lot of people are upset about is a lot of these books have that half page ad, the double page, half page ad. It was in Batman 41 in the print copy. But here's the thing. It's not in the digital copies. And the way that they split those pages, and I've said this before, because they've been doing those digital firsts, which are essentially half panels or half page stories split up. And then when they later combine them and print them together, it just flows very naturally. If they did that in this issue, again, you can't tell where the split occurs. And if you don't want it, those ads in the middle, then a digital version may be the way you want to go. Mm-hmm. Although I could probably pick the page if I had to, or the two pages.
You can go back and you can find the point in the story where those would fit.
If you find something like, I don't know what page this is, browse pages. Page 15, for example, that'd be about the halfway point of the book. If you look at page 15, there's two large panels at the top, two large panels at the bottom. Split them in half and have them run, you know, all the way across two pages and put two ads down at the bottom. And that's how I would do it. So
do it. And that's the ideal place. And I'll bet if you go and buy this issue.
I did buy the physical copy, but my comic book guy over in Salina, it doesn't arrive until probably tomorrow, Thursday.
What?
Yeah, I could have gone to our Hastings, but, you know, I already knew that I had ordered it, and I'm kind of loyal to that guy since I probably put his kids through college years ago when I was buying, like, $500 worth of comics a month, so now I'm down to, like, three physical copies a month.
Nick Lachey and a Twix bar are very important to the youth of today.
Well, no, here's the thing, and I think we may have mentioned this either last week or on the Major Spoilers podcast this week. Those half page ads are important for DC Comics. If, and maybe I did say this again, and if I'm repeating myself on this show, I apologize. But when you're only filling in house ads, that means you're not getting any money to offset the cost of the comic book. If you can put ads in here, whether they're full page ads or these half page ads or whatever, that means you have revenue coming in to help lower the cost of the comic, or to increase the fee that you're paying to the creators. And personally, I would rather have a $2.99 book than a $4.99 book. And I would really prefer a $1.99 book instead of a $2.99 book. So, you know, if that means that I would have to have four pages, you know, this story continues after page six, you know, after the six pages of ads, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I am too. I mean, granted, I grew up in a time when half-page ads were normal. The comics that we read in the late 70s and the very, very early 80s.
Yeah, there was a lot of
still
that stuff.
They had that stuff. You'd have the AAU Superstar.
Yeah.
And you'd have a half-page ad for, I don't know, an amusement park.
Well, and I remember it was just like at the bottom of a page, it would say story continues after two pages or whatever. And you'd turn and then there would be a full page ad or two half page ads and then another two half page ads. And then you turn the page again and you pick up where your story went left off. So I don't mind it. I know a lot of people do in this day and age where it's like, ooh, I want the pretty colors and the pretty art and everything to flow smoothly. But if it means paying a dollar or two per comic, I'd rather see DC say, hey, look, everybody, we're trying to keep the price low. We have to increase the ads so that we can continue to do this. Otherwise, it's going to be a $5 book and nobody wants that. So there you go. That's just my thought. I mean, that's the same reason why people are like, Steven, why are you always talking about tweaked audio? And it's like, well, tweaked audio has some great headphones, right? They come in a variety of different colors, variety of different styles. And best of all, when you go to tweakedaudio.com and you use the checkout code MAJOR, you get 33% off your price. Tweakedaudio.com sponsoring this episode of the Dueling Reviews. When people say, why do you guys dump those ads in there? It's because it's like, well, you going out and the advertiser paying, or you going out and buying this stuff, and the kickback that we get maybe from Amazon that allows us to keep this podcast free and prevents us and keeps us from having to say, this is going behind a firewall. You're going to have to pay 25 cents for this episode, right? Or this episode just doesn't get produced. You know, this show just is canceled. So I'm sympathetic to the advertiser. I'm not a fan of advertising, especially when it becomes stupid.
Right.
But I understand the reason that advertising needs to take place. And unless you're going to pay $29.95 a month for a subscription service for like a premium cable channel, ads are here. So there's my rant on that.
And there you go.
Bottom line for this, Matthew, is
go buy it.
Me too. Go buy it.
Rush right out in a buying frenzy.
Rush right out. Yes, do it. I'm wondering what we got coming up next week. Next week, Dark Horse Comics, RG versus Predator number 3. That'll be fun.
It actually was really fun.
It is. It's a fun series.
I didn't expect that book to be as good as it is, and I'm kind of like, oh man, I'm mad about it.
Yeah. Well, come on. I mean, Afterlife with Archie was pretty good. Was there an Afterlife with Archie? Oh, no, that was a reprint this week. 8 number 5 is out from Dark Horse. Plants vs. Zombies number 1, Bully for You, comes out next week from Dark Horse Comics. DC Comics has Astro City number 24, so if you are a fan of Astro City, or even if you're not, check out the week that issue releases, because Matthew does an interview with Kurt Busiek, and they talk about what was going on in the issue, structure, that kind of stuff. It's really kind of a fascinating behind-the-scenes look at the making of that issue. So go check that out over at MajorSpoilers.com. A lot of people very excited. I see a lot of Twitter feed buzz going on right now about Black Canary number 1 next week. That will be very good. Doomed number 1 comes out. Dr. Fate number 1 comes out next week.
We could do Dr.
Fate. Let's do Dr. Fate if no one has grabbed that one.
Because, I have.
Oh, man.
You've been stealing my reviews for 3 weeks
now. I don't know who put me down for Robin, Son of the Batman, because I certainly would not have put myself down for Robin, Son of the Batman.
Do you know
I would have put myself down for We Are Robins.
No, because I stole We Are Robins. But more importantly, you are not Robins. You are somebody else. I put you down for Son of the Bat because I two things. One, I know you love Batman, and I know you love comics, and we do too. And if not for the
courage
of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost.
You do not assign stories.
I said, do you want Son of the Batman? And you said, sure, put me down for Son of the Batman. So I did, yes.
Did I? Because it's like, I would not have picked a Damien.
It was like 5 episodes ago on this show.
I would not have picked a Damien story to read. I would have picked the We Are Robin one, definitely.
Well,
Robinson of the Batman, coming out next
Robinson
week.
Robinson Batman.
Superman, Wonder Woman, number 18, Teen Titans Go, number 10, Wonder Woman 41 comes out next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
IDW Publishing has Edward Scissorhands, number 9, Ghostbusters Get Real, number 1, Infinite Loop, number 3, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic Trade Paperback, Star Trek Ongoing, number 46, and then they have TMNT Casey and April, number 1. A couple of things pop out in reading that. Looks like, who is it, Chris Pratt? Looks like Chris Pratt has, let me double check, the new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. That's what I just saw. Yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
Cast as basically the Janine.
Yeah, the Janine character in that. So that's pretty
cool.
Which
I'm really sort of fine with, especially if they specifically hire him to be
as a man, as a manbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If they hire him just to be eye candy for the Ghostbusters, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Sadly, I don't know what's going on with John Byrne. He flipped out this week. Did you see that?
The thing with John is one of those guys who's been kind of in his own world for like the last 10 years. And when he goes off, it just makes me sad. I mean, I just can't.
If you don't know what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, John Byrne, and I don't know. I'm hoping it's not somebody posing as John Byrne. I'm sure they know or have checked it out.
No, it's on his John Byrne forum.
Oh, it's on his John Byrne forum. Okay, I just saw the forum post. I didn't see where it had come from. But he was basically equating transgender people with child rapists. And
yeah, saying that they were probably mentally ill. And just like,
yeah, and it's just like, oh, come on, man. Aww. It's like you've kind of ruined everything that I've liked about you with one statement. So I was disappointed by that because there is a Star Trek New Visions trade paperback next week. And then TMNT Casey in April, #1. If you're a fan of Megan Fox and the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which we're not covering on the major spoiler site because their PR people were very rude to us a couple of years ago in the lead up to the first movie. And I was just like, fine, we won't cover your movie ever. And but if you want to see Megan Fox dressed up as a schoolgirl for whatever reason, she's going to be dressed up that way in the upcoming TMNT 2 movie, whatever that's going to be about. So there you go. So just a couple of things that popped up from that IDW list. Some good comics coming out next week, though. Image Comics has Astronauts in Trouble, #1, Empty Zone, #1, God Hates Astronauts, #9, Astronauts in Trouble and God Hates Astronauts. Woo. People are not fine on the astronauts that front. Speaking of astronauts, did you see The Martian, Matthew? The Martian has been pushed back to October. That's the new, what's his name? Matt Damon movie. I think your mic must be turned off or something, Matthew. Surface #3, Tech Jacket #10, Valhalla Mad #2. Marvel Comics has Armor Wars #2, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad #4. Whoa. There's a lot of noise there, Matthew.
Oh, am I back?
Yeah, now you're back.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad #4. That's that series based on the attraction at Disneyland or Disney World.
When do I get my Zambezi Zinger comic?
As soon as Disney buys Worlds of Fun.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Deathlock #9, Fantastic Four trade paperback, Indus Forever, F-O-U-R ever.
Yeah. Because nothing is funnier than four puns.
Moon Knight #16, Ms. Marvel #16. That's part of the SWA, the Secret Wars.
The SWA.
Old Man Logan #2, Runaways #1. Again, everybody's like, oh, Runaways. It's not the Runaways you're thinking.
It's different Runaways.
It's a different, it's really different. Thor's #1 also comes out next week.
Oh, cool.
In the rest category, we have The Amazing World of Gumball trade paperback. Betty and Veronica #276, Burning Fields #5. When does Archie 666 come out? That's got to be this month.
I want to say June.
It's got to be this month.
I could have sworn that it was June.
Yeah.
Maybe it's already out.
No. It's not out yet. There would have been a lot more fanfare for that, but it's coming. Let's see. Divinity #1, Dungeon Monsters graphic novel, My Son the Killer. Okay. Fathom Blue #1. Let's see. Red Riding Hood 10th Anniversary Special #2. That's coming out from Zenoscope Entertainment. Justice Inc. Avenger 1. That's a reprint. That's one of those rare variant covers if you're into that. I really like that Justice Inc. Avenger #1 story. And Alex Ross did the cover, and he does a take. His version of the the Justice Inc. series from the 1970s by DC Comics. It's the same cover. Really good. King Jim #4, King Mandrake Magician #2.
King Mandrake.
Knights of the Dinner Table 221. Oh, I can't wait till Knights of the Dinner Table 227 with Jack A.
Oh, and they'll do it too.
Yeah. Munchkin #6. Got to get your other card. I've got five of them now. Rick and Morty, number 3. Simpsons Comics, 221. Oh, I can't wait till the Simpsons do 227. Special appearance by Jack A. Well, they're canceling Coffin.
Finhill, I know. We have to have a new joke. That'll get us at least 6 months.
Six more months, yes.
If we do one episode a week and spread them out, we can do that joke 25 more times.
Yep. Zombie Tramp Ongoing number 12. Just to look at some of the comics coming out next week, go check your local comic shop, of course, for all of the latest releases. And if you see something on the release list that you may think is outside, especially if it falls down in the and the rest category, you might want to check with your local comic shop, because they will not always order all of those other books. But generally, they will order from Dark Horse, DC, IDW, Image, and Marvel.
They're here on Gilligan's Isle.
Yeah, but the rest, maybe not so much. So we publish the list of new comics when it's finally updated and released by a Diamond on Monday afternoon. So you can check that out then. And then if you're looking for comics to read, make sure you're heading over to Majorspoilers.com Wednesday morning before you head out to your LCS, because we run down our list of staff recommendations, issues that we are looking forward to this week. And that may give you an idea of what to go pick up. So there you go.
And you get Steven's opinions every week and the rest of us, depending on who remembered.
Yeah, even though I remind you all, hey, everybody.
Yeah, you do.
Please send me that stuff by... I will say this, though. Wayne is always the first one. In fact, sometimes he even sends it to me before I send out the reminder email. So he's up on that. Wayne Hall,
looks
of course.
Looks like Archie 666 was out last week.
What? No way.
On the 3rd. Yeah.
I can't believe that there wasn't much more fanfare about that.
I know, right? We totally missed it. Well, and it was that first week of DC YOU.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. It got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah,
that's okay. We're really looking forward to Archie number 1 by Mark Waid and Fiona Staples coming out next month. That'll be fun. But speaking of Wayne, if you want to hear a good interview podcast that he does with comic book creators, go check out Wayne's podcast. It's in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed. That's the only place you can find it. And so we do want you to check that out, because he has some good interviews. And of course, it posts up on the Major Spoilers website. But if you want to subscribe and get everything that we do, 10 plus, and we may be adding a new show here very soon. I'll find out tomorrow if we add it in or not. But at least 10 shows that we're doing for you on a weekly basis. Lots of stuff to fill your ears. Why? Because we know that you love comics, and we do too. We will talk with you soon.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.